Well, as I indicated last week, we're doing a sermon series on the stained glass windows that adorn our sanctuary. And we're specifically looking at the back three on the east wall, and then the four that are along here on the west wall. We're skipping, like, that's the miracle window, and that's the life of Saint David. We're not doing those ones, because there's like eight sermons in each window, and so we'll do those another time. And so we're going through and we're looking, and this week we're looking at the third one from me down on the east wall. And there's a banner on that that window that's over on Christ's robe, and it says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then below that, it's covered up by the flowers that are there right now. But we have the words of Scripture, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This passage about my beloved Son is found in every gospel account except for John's. So it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And this morning I've elected to return to Luke's gospel and the message that is found there for us. And I've also included just more than that one verse for us to consider, because the context is important to see what is happening and why those words might have been spoken by God. And it's interesting to note that the passage that Suzanne read for us this morning, it appears in the lectionary text. In fact, we probably actually read it earlier in the year, because we're in year C, and Luke is year C. So we read those words and had a sermon on this earlier in the year. But the lectionary does a particular thing. It omits a couple of verses, particularly those verses where John the Baptist is arrested. Those are omitted from the lectionary, and I've decided to leave those in today. But these words happen, these words are spoken by God during the baptism of Jesus. After Jesus is baptized, he is praying, the heavens open up, the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, and we hear these words, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Now those are the words of the King James translation, which is what's on the window. And the good news this morning, what was read was, "You are my own dear Son, I am pleased with you." Now I'm going to be honest with you. I find the placement, I find these words from God directed at Jesus at this particular moment really curious. They bring up a question in my mind, and I'm going to sound a little bit jaded for asking this, but I'm going to bring it out anyways and ask the question, why is God pleased with Jesus? "You are my own dear Son. I am pleased with you." Why? At this point in his ministry, Jesus hasn't done anything. Jesus hasn't taught anything in a synagogue or the countryside. He hasn't healed anyone. He hasn't driven out any spirits. He hasn't even recruited the disciples yet. He hasn't corrected the teachings of the law. He hasn't angered the religious and secular authorities in the process. Nothing. At this point in Luke's gospel, all that has happened is that Jesus has been born. He has terrified his parents when he was 12, when he remained behind in Jerusalem at the temple, and he has been baptized. We are at the very beginning of his ministry. The next chapter of Luke will see him driven out into the wilderness to be tested for 40 days. Now we might assume, and I think probably rightly so, that Jesus was raised well, and that for the first 30 years of his life, he lived an exemplary life. But we're not given a lot of details about that. But as far as the many acts of Jesus that we find in Scripture, those stories that we sing about in the hymn, tell me the stories of Jesus I long to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. I don't have the rest of the words written down in front of me, but none of them, none of those things, they haven't happened yet. So why is God pleased with Jesus? To find the answer, I think we need to look at that wider context of everything that's going on in this passage, everything we know so far in the gospel about him. I mean, we can't look forward to the next chapter because it hasn't happened yet. And God's voice doesn't boom from the heavens when that ordeal is over, after Jesus is tested by Satan and overcomes those three trials. God doesn't boom from the heavens and say, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." Then you think he might well, but he doesn't. He does it here and now when Jesus is baptized. So why? What's going on? First, we hear a little bit about John the Baptist. People are wondering if John is the Messiah, because he's doing remarkable things with his teaching and his preaching and his ministry of baptism. But John doesn't take the bait. A prophet, sure, but Messiah, no, not John. John corrects the people, informs them that one who is greater than him is coming. And we know that he is referring to Jesus. Now, John and Jesus, they share a common trait. They like to tell the truth about the situation. And sometimes telling the truth can get you in a little bit of trouble. Now, it's a common assumption that Jesus was baptized by John. Yes, you would agree? If you read Matthew and Mark, absolutely, John baptizes Jesus in Matthew and Mark. But in Luke's gospel, John gets arrested, and then Jesus gets baptized. It might just be an aside, and maybe we shouldn't read it chronologically, but maybe we should. Luke doesn't tell us that John baptizes Jesus. Matthew and Mark tell us John baptized Jesus. Luke doesn't say that, because John is arrested. Why is John arrested? Because he told the truth about a very powerful man and about the inappropriate things that he was doing. Told the truth about Herod, who was the governor, and his marriage to Herodias, who was his brother's wife, and the other evil things he had done. John told the truth. John, who baptized people in the wilderness, which was not according to Jewish tradition, was arrested for telling the truth. But before that happens, he also tells the truth about not being the Messiah and tells the people who have gathered to hear him that another is coming who is greater than he. And then Jesus arrives on the scene, and he is baptized in the same manner as John in the Jordan. And we know that Jesus then goes on to teach, to heal, and correct the wall. We see that in the pronouncement that Jesus makes in the next chapter, in Luke chapter 4, that he comes to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. Jesus told the truth. And we know that God was pleased. But telling the truth isn't always easy. Think about every time the truth is told in the Gospels. When Jesus tells the truth of things in his hometown of Nazareth, they try to throw him off a cliff. Jesus is rejected by his family, his friends, and his community before he is really even engaged in his ministry, because he tells the truth It's a narrative that travels all the way through the Gospels, right up until the end. Think of the end of the Gospels. The empty tomb. The women find the empty tomb. And they come back and they tell the disciples the truth. And they're rebuked and told that they're foolish. The prophets of the Old Testament told the truth, sometimes to their own detriment, but it didn't stop them. Jesus has come to tell the truth, and his baptism in the same tradition of John foreshadows this. That Luke has John arrested before Jesus' baptism, and it may just be a literary technique that Luke uses. He was a good writer. It foreshadows the eventual arrest of Jesus. John is executed, and Jesus will also be executed for telling the truth. Why is God pleased with Jesus? For me, it is because Jesus has elected to follow in the true tradition of truth-telling about God, of removing the barriers of the law, the constraints, and making God accessible to everyone, expressing time and time again that what God cares about is how people love and treat one another. And all of this, to me, is tied to that moment when Jesus was baptized. And I would like to think, as I said with the kids there a few moments ago, that the voice of God saying, "This is my son, I am pleased," could be applied to all of us. That each of us should know that we are a child of God, and that God is pleased with us. Why? Because we have elected to follow in the tradition of Jesus. We have been baptized. And I pray that it is our heart's desire to share the love of God with our neighbors. Father Mike, in his blog, Interrupting the Silence, writes, "Jesus' baptism is for our sake and our salvation. His baptism makes ours possible. The water of baptism does not sanctify Jesus. Instead, he sanctifies the water for our baptism. The water that once drowned is now sanctified water that gives life." When we were baptized, we are commissioned by God to join in that same work, that work of truth-telling that Jesus did. And it's a formal way for us to say, "I want to do this." And those that are baptized as infants later in life, we ask those individuals to reaffirm what was done during their baptism. Living Faith, one of our subordinate standards, the green book that's in your pews, it says this about baptism. "Baptism is a sign and seal of our union with Christ and with his church. Through it we share in the death and resurrection of Christ and are commissioned to his service." And then later it reads, "It is a sacrament not of what we do, but of what God has done for us in Christ. God's grace and our response to it are not tied to the moment of baptism, but continue and deepen throughout life." Friends, we are children of God. And I believe that God is pleased with us, especially when we engage in the activities of truth-telling for God's sake. I believe that in our present time there is much truth that needs to be told. Truth about how to live with people in harmony. Truth about the way our societies are structured. I read an interesting quote from a page I follow on Facebook. It's a quote that's attributed to Stephen Mattson. It reads, "Sometimes being a good Christian meant being a bad Roman." So before you accuse people of being unpatriotic, ask yourself which empire they're actually serving. As Christians, we are sanctified through the waters of baptism to engage in the pursuit of truth-telling for God's sake. May we all have the courage to do that. Amen.